When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback, episode number 363. As this week, we bring you the first hour of WCW Super Brawl 2. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil, joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, the effing king of recovery, Jim Valley. Jim, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 1992, and head to Milwaukee, a name derived from Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land?
I just think of the Crusher, the wrestler that made Milwaukee famous.
You're very famous indeed. We've done the Crusher. We've seen the Crusher in action. We are not going to see the Crusher in action this week. He is absent from this event. But we'd like to thank all of you for being here. Of course, we actually, I think, did pretty well this week in the podcast ratings. Made it back into the top 100 in wrestling podcasts in Australia, which seems to be a new thing for us. Charted in America and did well in Canada and Ireland. And those seem to be our wheelhouses wheel homes for the moment, but always looking to expand into new countries and in the podcast spots. So anybody in Belize or what would be a good one, Luxembourg, anybody at all who is a big fan of the show, we appreciate you. We appreciate all of you, and we thank you very much. Also, if you like the show and can't wait to hear the other 362 episodes, just go to patreon.com/waybackplayback, and they're all there, Jim, plus our bonus stuff. And we're doing some great bonus stuff, including Mid-Atlantic from 1982 at the moment. So check that out. Okay. I think that's enough.
Yeah. There's some good stuff for Patreons and good stuff here as well. So.
And go to Jim Valley's t-shirt store, by the way.
That's right. ProWrestlingTees.com. It's right at the Wrestling Observer Figure 4 online store. And you can find the effing King of Recovery t-shirts.
Yes, which all of you should own, by the way. And I know we've all enjoyed a busy weekend of wrestling, and Sunday is our chance to relax and reflect before we get to that big NXT takeover. Happy NXT takeover day, Jim.
Yes. See the return of Samoa Joe. It's very exciting.
That actually I am looking forward to. So
yeah,
that'll be fun. Okay. So let's go back to where we are. 47% of you voted for this, for Super Brawl 2. And I've wanted to do this show. So I think it's a good choice for a few different reasons. We're coming up on our 7th anniversary, and we'll start year 8 with one of the biggest shows of 1992. We started with a show with the first pay-per-view from 85, the Wrestling Classic, and every year that we've done the show, we've bumped up a year. So this will be the 92 event that we've been t- desperately craving, I think. So February 29, 1992, lethal leap year, if you will. It is WCW Super Brawl 2 from the Mecca in Milwaukee with 5,000 in attendance. Perhaps not the huge crowd that they were anticipating, but a crowd nonetheless. Now, WCW ran two shows on Thursday night, the 27th. They were allegedly in Birmingham, Alabama at the State Fair and at Middle Tennessee State at University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We have no results from either, Jim. Somehow the publications of the day did not find anybody who attended either show. However, if we go back to the February 25th show in Macon, Georgia, in front of 2,000 people, we can ascertain that Barry Windham defeated Larry Zbysko in a grudge match, and the main event was an 8-man steel cage match in which Sting, Ricky Steamboat, Dustin Rhodes, and Ron Simmons defeated Rick Rude, Steve Austin, Bobby Eaton, and Arn Anderson. An 8-man cage match.
Wow, that's an expensive match for 2,000 people. That many people in one match.
That's all.
And the rest of the card is probably filled with Italian Stallions and Multi Brothers and Gene Liggins.
And, there apparently was a match with Jushin Liger defending the light heavyweight title against Ricky Morton. And Jushin Liger was so upset with how the match went, according to the Wrestling Observer, that he was throwing things backstage. He was not a big fan of how it turned out, for whatever reason. You can only speculate. But, yeah, that was on the card. Okay, so meanwhile, WCW did have television on Saturday. And if you're watching their TV shows, the Power Hour on Saturday morning, that feature there was U.S. champion Rick Rude with successful title defense defeating Brian Pillman. And then they did a one-hour edition of WCW Saturday Night, mostly featuring a preview of Super Brawl 2. There was one actual match, first-run match. It was taped February 17th in beautiful Rock Hill, South Carolina. On that match, you got to see Greg Valentine and Terry Taylor capture the U.S. tag team titles from Ron Simmons and Big Josh. So that was your, I guess that was your Saturday night heat match or your go home for the pay-per-view.
A main event anywhere in the country.
Well, I mean, in WCW terms, why not on TBS? Why not?
1992, that's a big TV match, actually.
Yeah, actually. So, yeah, let's, I don't think that's on the network yet. Or on Peacock either. Meanwhile, dear friends and ours in the WWF, it's a Saturday, so they're doing 1, 2, 3, 4 shows. Good grief. These kids.
1992. Wow.
In 1992, they're doing 4 shows, 2 matinees and 2 evening shows.
Okay.
The matinee. Okay. Oh, and if you're wondering what WWF is doing to compete with WCW Super Brawl, well, they're not running Milwaukee that night. They're doing it in an understated fashion, Jim. They're televising the previous weekend's Madison Square Garden show on the MSG network opposite Super Brawl. So
WWE always competitive.
Yep, that's true. That show had a 20-man. I think that show is available on YouTube somewhere. It was best known for a 20-man Battle Royal main event. Oh, and a match which would later air in on primetime and an infamy. Sid Justice versus Hercules, where Hercules loses in 30 seconds and doesn't particularly look like he's playing ball. So, sure, check that out if you get a moment. All right. Let's see what we have here. The A shows. All right, the A-team was spent the afternoon in Boston at the Boston Garden in front of 10,000, and then went on to do the evening show in Springfield, Massachusetts at the Civic Center in front of 4,500. Okay, not great, but we'll take it. Let's see. It was at the Boston Garden you got to see, Tito Santana defeat the WWF Tag Team Champion Ted DiBiase in singles action, and the main event, it was Hulk Hogan and Intercontinental Champion Roddy Piper defeating WWF Champion Ric Flair and Sid Justice when Hulk Hogan pins Ric Flair, because of course he did. Then you go on to the Then you go on to the nighttime event. Hulk Hogan didn't stick around. So you got Tito Santana beating Ted DiBiase in Springfield. And in the main event, it was Roddy Piper beating Ric Flair in a cage match. In a non-title steel cage match, of course. Not too shabby. So, yeah.
Top stars.
That's good stuff. The B show was in was at the Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky for the afternoon. Let's see. So one of the big semi main event feature on the show was set to be Bret Hart teaming with the Legion of Doom against the Mountie and the Nasty Boys. However, as it turns out, what had happened was Road Warrior Hawk had been fired. And so the people got to see Bret Hart teaming with the Bushwhackers against the trio of the Mountie and the Nasty Boys. And there's no results listed. And in the main event, it was Randy Savage defeating Jake the Snake Roberts in a steel cage. So there you go. The evening event, it was, for some reason, Bret Hart and the Bushwhackers taking on the Mountie, Brian Knobbs, and Shawn Michaels filling in for the injured Jerry Sags. And, of course, Randy Savage beat Jake Roberts in the steel cage match. So there you go.
It'll sound like all the feuds I recall from 1992.
The build to WrestleMania 8, as a matter of fact.
Yes,
that's right. Okay, so I'm looking through and seeing what the other major shows were. Let's see here. The Global Wrestling Federation. They stopped giving away comps for the shows at the Dallas Sportatorium. So the Sportatorium was down to 500 for the ESPN television taping. You ended up with, Eddie Gilbert and Terry Garvin beat the Dark Patriot and Big Bad John in the main event. The Dark main event. Let's see. For the ESPN show, it was the Dark Patriot, Doug Gilbert, defeating Terry Garvin via countout. Not the WWF Terry Garvin. It was just Terry Sims, who would soon be changing his name to Terry Sims for obvious reasons. Oh, and there was a tape fist battle royal to determine the first GWF Brass Knucks champion. And do you remember, Jim, who got that honor?
I don't.
That would be Black Bart. And who better than Black Bart? Okay.
Nope.
Let's see. Meanwhile, in Louisville, the USWA had a big show on February the 25th. It was, Jerry Lawler beat the Black Dog by disqualification when Black Dog threw fireball at Jerry Lawler. And Jeff Jarrett and the Junkyard Dog defeated the Moondogs by disqualification in the main event. Wrestling news. Jeff Gaylord showed up at the Sportatorium looking for work. And apparently Eddie Gilbert told Jeff Gaylord, "Well, I didn't know you were looking for work, but we're all booked solid for the next month, so we can't use you until then." And this led to an argument, which led to Jeff Gaylord punching Eddie Gilbert and beating on him until Doug Gilbert broke it up by breaking a Coca-Cola bottle over Jeff Gaylord's head. Okay. So that was nice.
Wasn't that the incident where Gaylord was collecting or trying to collect like $1,000 bounty to anybody who assaulted, who beat up Eddie Gilbert? Isn't that what happened?
Something like that.
So
allegedly.
I forget who it was. I think it was somebody in Philadelphia was mad at Eddie Gilbert and offered anybody $1,000. And Gaylord went specifically to try to collect that real-life bounty. And after, I think both Eddie and Gaylord had to go to the hospital, afterward, Eddie told Gaylord, "Hey, you idiot. We're both wrestlers. Why didn't you just tell me? We would have faked the whole thing, taken pictures, and split the $1,000.
I mean, that makes sense to me, but what do I know?
J. Jeff Gaylord, not the brightest bulb.
I just host a podcast, kids. All right. USWA is setting up for the March 2nd show at the Mid-South Coliseum with Coco Beware defending his USWA title against Kamala, and the Moondogs defending the tag titles against Jerry Lawler and Jeff Jarrett. So that's nice. Okay, I think we're mostly caught up here. I can go to All Japan and see what's going on. This one threw me a little bit. I'm looking at the All Japan results, and I'm seeing that February 27th, one of the big matches in All Japan, Joe and Dean Malenko lose a match in an upset to the State Patrol of Buddy Lee Parker and James Earl Wright in Matsumoto.
That's a great, I wonder what happened there.
I don't know.
Just get victory. Maybe, let's see, February? No.
Dan Crockett and Doug Furness, you know them, get a tag team win over the team of Dory Funk and Firecat, a.k.a. Battlecat, a.k.a. Brady Boone. Oh, and Steve, Dr. Death Williams, and Terry Gordy defeat Stan Hansen and Johnny Ace, which is more normal stuff, I suppose.
That was an excellent match.
Yes. All right. Mitsuharu Misawa makes Akira Tao submit to a face lock. Okay, that's good. And Jumbo Tsuruta beats Kenta Kobashi in the main event. All right. Well, that sounds pretty great, I think.
Yeah.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Everybody's enjoying themselves on this beautiful Sunday. Just a reminder that you can join us on Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. And on our Patreon, we have multiple tiers. Even on the lowest tier, you'll be able to get our shows in advance and ad-free. And in addition, get the entire catalog of Wayback Playback shows, which now totals 359 episodes. That's a lot, folks, of myself and Jim Valley. Plus, if you join us in the Black Scorpion tier, you will get all the bonus material, including previous shows that Jim and I did together, including any bonus episodes that we put together, and bonus matches that I've done either with Jim or with other people. All of that is available for you on Patreon. Come support us. It is patreon.com/waybackplayback. And as always, we thank you for your support. Okay, well, let's get down to it, I suppose. Okay, February 29th, on this show, the first thing that happens is there is a dark match. Sorry we missed the dark match, but it is Big Josh, a.k.a. Matt Bourne, defeating Diamond Dallas Page in several minutes.
That's surprising. That's surprising. Yeah. Big Josh.
Well, you know, good guys winning. There's nothing really wrong with that.
Yeah, I guess don't mention
it. You want to get everybody in the right mood. So
there you go.
Okay, so we made our way to Peacock, and we're at 0 minutes and 0 seconds, and I've got the dreaded black screen, do you, I'm sure.
Yep.
All right, so everybody's with us. We're darn excited about this, so we're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And it's on like Ric Flair at the Long Island Railroad, allegedly. Here we go. Here's your video package. Jushin Liger against Brian Pillman for the light heavyweight title. Steiner's defending the tag titles against Arn Anderson and Beautiful Bobby. a great tag team. Rick Rude defends the U.S. title against Ricky Steamboat. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I like they have the pucker sound. Yep. Rick Rude's kiss. And then, of course, Sting and Lex Luger.
The one everybody's been waiting for, the one they had been building, they had been legitimately building to this match for, I want to say, well, at least three or four months. And there you are, your host for the broadcast, Tony Schiavone and Eric Bischoff. And Tony looks happy. And, I think I figured out why Tony's happy. He's not at ringside having to work with Jesse Ventura.
Probably true.
Yeah. Capacity crowd on here. Well, I think you can fit. The Mecca was the basketball arena in Milwaukee. I think you could fit more than 5,000 in there, but okay.
Yeah, I think it's like 12, but yeah. Okay. They're saying it's a capacity crowd.
Luger has been in seclusion training for this matchup. He has not been on any WCW shows. He is under contract to WCW through 93, but that contract does not cover the fine sport of bodybuilding. So Lex signed with the World Bodybuilding Federation, owned by Vince McMahon, and that's where he's going to spend the last year of his WCW contract.
I like that Eric Bischoff's hair is darker than his tuxedo.
Well, hey, you know what? That's a good contrast with Tony Schiavone's brown hair.
I guess so. Red tie.
It's diversity. Okay, maybe not.
Each white guys, yes.
Well, at least you can tell them apart. All right, look at
you know this show. I was watching it earlier.
Yeah,
it's a long time before we get to the match.
I know, surprisingly long time.
There's a lot of talking.
Yes, I know. There are 8 matches on this show. We're gonna do. It's gonna be 3-3-2 for the next 3 weeks. So we get the first 3 matches this week. All right. Oh, in the dressing room area, folks, is Missy Hyatt. I wonder what Missy Hyatt's up to.
Missy Hyatt and a white collection.
That is quite the outfit. If Missy's listening, yeah, bring that outfit to Cauliflower Alley. Yep. Okay. Missy Hyatt with backstage interviews. However, unfortunately, I don't think Stan Hansen's on this show.
Yeah, right. No Stan Hansen in the locker room.
Yay. All right. I mean, these Milwaukee fans, I mean, you know, there's a lot of stereotypical Midwesterners there, but they look very happy to be attending the show. And why wouldn't they? This is a heck of a card.
Yeah. And you know, the Mecca looks like a pretty good place to watch wrestling. I mean,
it does.
Looks like, you know, you're pretty on top of the action. So That's great. It looked like a bad seat in the house.
All right. And they're going to start this with and they're going to pull a WWE and start off with the hottest match they have. Jim Ross is in the ring. I wonder why he's in the ring instead of, he's going to bring out his new broadcast partner who actually debuted at the Clash of Champions. Super Brawl. Jesse the Body Ventura. Here we go.
Got a long drive or flight from Minnesota?
I don't think it's that long.
No, I remember when Jesse signed, and I remember the Aftermags made such a big deal about it. Like, people would be, you know, flipping channels and hear Jesse's voice and want to stop, and, you know, that he could be.
That was the idea.
No. I thought that was dubious at the time.
All right. WCW is the wrestling of the future, folks, and the future is now.
And the future is about a year and a half.
Yeah.
1996 to
right.
1999.
Okay, and he's riding a Harley. There you go. Fans are happy to see him. Well, I mean, he showed up at the Clash, but this is the first time Jesse's announcing a show. So. And why not, you know, why not start off on the pay-per-view?
in Crusher Country, and I think the
colors captioning says Treasure Country. It's Crusher Country. Jesse knows his stuff, folks.
Yeah. He wrestled the Crusher.
Sting and Liver. It's a pick'em. All right, so Sting's been out. Sting's been working all the major shows, and Luger has been quote unquote in seclusion. He didn't work the Clash. He hasn't worked any of that. He hasn't worked the house shows. If you had a cowboy hat, you would look just like J.R. Ewing. Thank you, Jesse.
So funny.
The funny thing is that line. No, his initials are J.R.
Jesse's a prophet.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Jim Ross hadn't even worked for Vince yet.
It's amazing.
And Tony calls him JR. Thank you. Okay. Yep. So, I mean, keep in mind, if you've watched WCW Saturday Night leading up to this, pretty much the whole hour was like video packages and set up for the angles, except for the one U.S. title match. So you've gotten all this preview shoved on you, and they're still not ready to start the show. There we go. This is the one a lot of people were waiting for, though. Oh, I like this setup. I like that arena setup.
It looks great.
Yeah. No complaints. And there he is. Flying Brian Pillman. Yeah, he's wearing Cincinnati Bengals gear, but who cares? £223. Brian Pillman Sr., let's call him. And Jim Ross has his entire football career memorized, so go ahead, Jim.
And what about Jushin Liger's football career?
Let's see. I believe he played for, I don't know. That's a good question. Tokyo, Japan. So he must have played for East Tokyo High School.
Probably did. I think he's from Northern Japan. If I'm trying to remember. I don't recall. I'm trying to remember.
Well, if this is WCW. They're not going to introduce him from any town other than Tokyo. So
no.
Okay. Right.
There's no other city, no other place in Japan other than Tokyo. That's
right. Lost the championship to Liger. In Atlanta on Christmas night, 91. Yeah. Okay. And Jesse Ventura is excited about this match because he's never seen Jushin Liger in person.
Well, and Jushin Liger was, had a lot of buzz. I mean, if there had been a more robust internet, he would have been an internet darling for sure. He was probably a CompuServe darling at
the time. Yes, he was. Say that.
But yeah, I mean, he had a lot of buzz, a lot of underground buzz with smart fans and tape traders and everything.
Speaking of fans, I the entire cast of the Bill Swirsky Superfans skit from Saturday Night Live is there in the front row.
I see those guys. Those are handsome people. Handsome men.
Made the trip from Chicago. Okay, so it's a light heavyweight title match, so Pillman's going to the arm. Also in attendance of this show is Tatsumi Fujinami, obviously talking with WCW about a few certain things, including the fact that he's going to be wrestling at WrestleWar. Dave Meltzer's already broken the news that there's going to be some sort of match. Him and Azuka are going to team up against the Steiner brothers to determine number one contenders for the IWGP World Tag Team titles or something.
That's interesting because Fujinami was the main event against Ric Flair for Super Bowl I.
Yep. But I mean, they're treating Fujinami like a star. Yeah. Well, the Steiners really wouldn't, but There we go.
You know, talking with my friend Fumi Saito, Liger is very much a gym rat.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned, he has a house up north outside of Tokyo, but he lives a lot in the New Japan Dojo mm-hmm. and just works out and trains.
Tremendous condition, yes.
Yeah, it's just it's still to this day has a very, tremendous condition. And like, for example, when he came to the United States, he traveled alone. He didn't travel with anybody. He just keeps to himself. He pretty much is kind of that guy. He's not antisocial or anything. I think he just likes to be focused and have his head clear.
Okay. Makes sense. Okay, so Jim Ross has just informed you that the winner of the Super Brawl contest is Barry Abrams, a student from Syracuse University. He will be introducing the next match. Yes, a college kid winning a trip to Milwaukee. That one writes itself, I think.
Milwaukee's best.
That's right. Yep, tour of the brewery. All right. Okay, and the crowd is into Jushin Liger. Because, well, which is interesting because, you know, American fans just don't get into Japanese wrestlers. I mean, they can't do, because they can't do good promos. Is that Dave Meltzer?
You know, it's funny because Vince McMahon promoted the Jumping Bomb Angels, who
right.
never did a promo but got over everything.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
It's funny, these series of matches are considered groundbreaking and revolutionary and very.
At the time, they were, yeah.
Yeah, at the time. Very high regard at the time, but, you know, these matches aren't even talked about. You know, Liger retired, what was it, in 19? I think was it 20? No, it was 20. I was there.
Right.
I have the t-shirt, as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. at Tokyo Dome, but, you know, people in Japan don't even talk about Pillman when they talk about Liger's greatest matches or opponents.
No, you got. I mean, you talk about the '95 J Cup. You had Benoit there, Eddie Guerrero. I mean, the light heavyweights, the cruiserweights. There was just a quantum leap forward over the next 4 years.
Yeah.
And Pillman, for various reasons, got left out of it. Of course, Pillman would have, Pillman was ready for something big to happen when he jumped to WWF, and the reasons it didn't happen were, mostly due to Brian himself, unfortunately.
Yeah, and his body was breaking down too.
Yeah.
And like he got into that Humvee accident and smashed up his face and his ankles. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, the Cauliflower Alley Club is honoring Brian Pillman Jr. with one of the Rising Star Awards this year.
Well deserved, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely. Brian won't be able to be there because it happens on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
W Dynamite.
And you know what that means. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well. Okay. I understand. You don't want to mess with the payday.
Yeah, you got to take care of your money first.
All right. Oh, so we watched Liger on George Michael's Sports Machine. A good name dropping there by Jesse Ventura.
That's funny. George Michael, was a great sportscaster, and
I grew up around D.C. We watched George Michael. Yeah, 5 nights a week, including every Wednesday was wrestling highlights.
Yeah, I never got to see. I only got to see the Sports Machine.
Right.
I always thought it was cool. Yeah, it's like he always was very respectful without being an idiot about pro wrestling.
Well, there was a bit in 1981 where he got to be ring announcer at the Capitol Center, and he got himself into a mini feud with Bob Backlund.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he said that. Yeah, He went on his sports show and said, you know, Backlund lost to George Steele by countout, and he went on his sports show and said, look, Backlund, you know, George Steele deserves to be the champion. Backlund escaped on a technicality. So he's trying to make himself into a heel, and he got himself booed, you know, the next month when he showed up to ring announce.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, George Michael was originally a St. Louis guy, so.
Yeah, he and Chet Kopick were both very respectful. And
oh, yeah.
Cool. So, yeah.
I mean, I remember watching George's sportscast one night, and he leads off breaking the news that the Road Warriors are jumping to WWF, and they're going to be known as the Legion of Doom.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, I mean, this is D.C. Anything the Redskins did with, you know, during that era was going to lead, you know. I mean, you know, Joe Theismann walks to his car. It's the lead story. Yeah, but yeah, he mentioned the Road Warriors. All right.
Yeah, the syndicated show, the sports machine with sports highlights, and the gimmick was he had like this fake, you know, computer with tapes and buttons.
Yeah.
He'd push, and then you'd go to highlights and stuff.
Right. I mean, there was a Sunday night highlight show. It started off in D.C. It was called Sports Final. And that was the Sunday night run, all the highlights and give the scores and all that. And yeah, they took it syndicated. So I went to Clemson, and suddenly, you know, Sunday night after everything's over, most guys sat it down and watched George Michael and, you know, got caught up on the highlights. And I also remember watching the sports machine, the night of the 91 bash, you know, and George sure enough had the highlights of, of Harley Race showing up and Luger beating Barry Windham.
Yeah, I mean, he would do. I remember at the Sunday of WrestleMania four, he had, you know, the announcement of Randy Savage winning the world title, mm-hmm. And I wasn't getting the Observer or anything like that at the time.
Right.
So I, you know, I was like, oh my God, Randy Savage. Huh. That was cool.
Well, that was one of the best case. That was one of the better case scenarios out of that. So, yeah, it was. Oh, here we go. And this is good, but it's not. You know, I mean, it doesn't feel groundbreaking anymore.
To be honest, these matches are solid, but yeah. I never saw them as like amazing to me, because I got some. Not a lot, but I got some Japanese tapes and stuff. So I was aware what was going on in Japan. So, you know, this was good, but I knew it wasn't as groundbreaking as what was happening.
Yeah, but that, there you go. Oh, moonsault off the top.
Yeah, that's great.
Yep.
And Liger's smart enough to pause and let the crowd soak everything in.
Which is very important. At least it used to be. Okay. All right. And that Jesse Ventura putting a Liger over huge, which, you know, good sense. I mean, you know, you don't have him out there making, you know, I'm out there poking fun.
Right. You don't want him mocking him or saying anything that might be considered insensitive to that.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, you don't want him doing the Bobby Heenan out there. Oh, there we go. They're pulling. And there's people booing because Pillman's got the advantage. Oops, suplexing him inside out. That wasn't done.
Yeah. You know, the thing with Jesse is he was a heel, but he still had some credibility. And him putting this over is a big deal.
Yes, it is. I mean, plus it's Jesse who's, you know, I mean, heavyweight body guy as much, you know, as much as anybody is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's telling you how good this is.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, everybody likes whatever style they wrestle.
Yes, exactly.
And Jesse's putting over a different style there. And here's the thing. It's like, you know, it's, I don't know. Why couldn't this be for a heavyweight belt? These guys aren't that small.
Well, but that wasn't the thought process.
I know. And it's just like, I don't know. I mean, there's some high flying and things, but this is a pretty solid match as far as impact goes. I mean, there's not a lot of daylight with what they're doing.
Nope.
So, I don't know. It just...
It's an aerial war. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's definitely different from what was going on WCW and WWF television.
I mean, both these guys are putting in more effort than Luger put in like the last 6 months in WCW.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think the story, I don't know if I remember this exactly, but the story is during Luger's title reign, you know, he walks over to the front row crowd in Greensboro and says to John Hitchcock, "Boy, yeah, this is why I hate this, you know, this is why I hate this poop, you know, or whatever you want to call it, you know," which is not, he did not have the attitude of your top guy's supposed to have.
You know, one thing I liked about WCW in this era is like they would, you know, you mentioned Fujinami is negotiating a match coming up, and they got Liger and stuff, and you'd see Hiroshi Hase come in and wrestle. Yeah. And, you know, it was kind of an early precursor to today's Forbidden Door. You know, they bring in, you know, they'd sign Vader. Or, you know, they brought in, you know, you'd hear buzz about certain people and then you get to see them. And that was cool.
Yeah, I attended the taping they did in March where Steve Williams and Terry Gordy came in and they taped a bunch of their squash matches. Just in case. I mean, they wouldn't start for a few months, but they wanted to have them ready.
Yeah.
So you knew they're coming. And Jesse gets on the close only counts and horseshoes and hand grenades line.
I haven't heard that 1,000 times.
Yep. Well, you haven't heard it lately. I don't think I heard Tony Schiavone bust that out on Dynamite. So
somebody will.
Yeah, that's true.
Get to see Taz doing it.
That's true. Oh, nice one. Okay. That's one I don't see anybody busting out today, but.
Yeah, that looked like wasn't what they went for, but they covered nicely.
It made it work, yeah. There we go.
Could that blonde woman in the front row look any more disinterested?
Well, let's see. Well, she doesn't have she could if she had a cell phone.
Yeah. If she doesn't like this match, she's going to hate the rest of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not kidding. Oh. Yeah. As Meltzer points out, the problem with having this match first is it took a lot of the steam out of the next match to hit the ring.
Oh, well, it's the second match. That's. Usually what the second match is supposed to be for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we're going up. Oh.
So I was reading that this was the first pay-per-view that WCW raised the price $5 on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, from 1995 to $24.95.
Yeah. But with this match, you're getting your money's worth.
That's true. But, yeah. that made tough sell doing that. Like, I don't know if this is the month of wrestling. I mean, WrestleMania is less than a month, is about a month away.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. And everybody's on their feet.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like the heart of AWA country. And they're like, yeah.
Give us Greg Gagne.
Well,
Greg Gagne. That's cool that they shook hands and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Jesse's pointing, yeah. You don't see the handshake after a title change usually.
I mean, this is 1992, and,
right.
You know, you still had some of the old promoter thinking of the Pearl Harbor and the
right.
Sneaky Japanese salt-throwing, you know, short, tight-wearing character, you know?
Right. Well,
and it's nice to see something modern.
And, yeah.
You know,
by 92 Saturns, this is very modern.
Yeah.
Okay. Misses the diving headbutt. And Pillman goes to turns him over and does the backland, you know, does the Pat O'Connor, the bridge. There you go. I don't know what got cut off there. Oh, it was just a skip in the tape. Okay. Hey. All right. And they're actually, you know, they're actually putting the match over after the match. As if this is significant or something.
Right.
Okay. Oh, it's Marcus Alexander Bagwell against the tailor-made man, Terry Taylor. Yes.
Yeah, I think this steam was going to be out of this match already.
Sure. You look so dapper, Terry.
Terry Taylor looks like he bought that at Ted DiBiase's yard sale.
Yeah, I'm going to say that. I'm going to, yeah.
Ted DiBiase's hand-me-downs.
Right. It's hard to believe Bagwell and Terry Taylor were feuding, but then again, actually, it's not that hard to believe. All right. Here we go. Our special guest ring announcer. Is the winner up? Syracuse, New York.
Wow, he gets an intro and everything.
Yeah. Hey, this is a big contest.
Get in, it's a young Pat McNeil.
Not exactly.
You didn't look
my like... Uncle Herb is going to be so proud of me.
That's at Herb Abel's.
Hey. I mean, other than not really having the pipes for it, he did fine.
Why is he not wearing pants?
Bagwell?
No, the kid.
Oh, I don't know. Well,
is
that's
he
a good question.
Shorts, what happened?
I don't know.
God, I don't remember Bagwell in this outfit. Well, I only remember Bagwell in long pants. I don't remember.
And we're more in the shorts and the tights, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember this outfit at all.
Yes.
Jesus, hair is huge. Bagwell went to McMahon School of hair flipping.
Yeah, Barry sounds like one of the generic dub over ring announcers on WWE Network.
Yeah, he does sound like fake Howard Finkel.
Good, you know, good job, Barry. Okay. All right. Okay, and yep, Terry Taylor is your one half of the new U.S. Tag Team Champions. And did he bring the belt with him? Okay. No, he did not. Oh, there we go. Tearaway pants, yep. see.
So you tear away pants. Are you a wrestler or a stripper? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's one of the two.
I mean, he's not the first guy who did the tearaway pants gimmick, because they did that with Scott Hall as the Diamond Stud. So
standard fare, like I said, if you're a wrestler or a stripper. Mm-hmm. So let me get this straight. If you won the contest, you got to ring announce this match.
Yes.
That's a
second place is you have to watch this match.
Jeez.
I mean, you know, they both obviously can wrestle. It's just that there's, you know, there's no real steam behind this feud.
No, I mean, given Terry Taylor's level of experience, it's probably good to get him in the ring with a young Marcus Bagwell and kind of probably teach him a few more things.
Terry's finisher is the tailor-made forearm.
It used to be known as the five-arm.
Yes. Let's see. And Marcus Bagwell uses the yellow jacket suplex, which looks a lot like the Kurt Hennig perfect flex, but that's another story.
Yeah, it's a fisherman suplex. Why is it the yellow jacket?
Because he played high school football at Sprayberry High School in Georgia, and they're the Sprayberry Yellow Jackets.
Gotcha.
Because there might be a person, I don't know, outside of the greater Marietta area who would give a rat's ass. I don't know.
The other day, somebody sent me the picture, the screenshot of Buff Bagwell in No Holds Barred, the Hulk Hogan movie.
Wow.
Because they did a filming in Buff's neighborhood or something, and he was in the neighborhood, and he got in the... He's like over Hulk's shoulder in the picture. Pretty funny.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just like a couple years before he debuted. And
yeah.
Yep. There you go.
Buff Bagwell was a good-looking guy.
Yep, no doubt about it. This is second match fair though.
Okay. Terry Taylor just had a birthday. I think he just turned 60 or something.
Oh, happy birthday, Terry.
Yeah, he looks good.
Yep. Who's your favorite wrestler and why is it him? Yeah. And there's a good percentage of the fans behind Terry Taylor.
Terry Taylor back to WCW after his successful run as the Red Rooster.
Yeah. And then he'd be back, I think, 93. He heads back to WWF as terrific Terry Taylor. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw him at a house show wrestle Sean Waltman, 1-2-3 Kid.
Mm-hmm. I remember going to a TV taping, I want to say in Augusta in 93, and it's, and I forget what, I think they were taping Wrestling Challenge, but yeah, he drew Randy Savage. And, got to see Terry be a, I guess a, you know, elevated jobber for Randy, because that's how it was going to end, obviously. But bringing him back as a heel seemed to suit him better. And we covered that thing where they teased him, where he was a special referee for a match, and they teased him feuding with Ric Flair. And did nothing and had no follow up on it because, well, why would they?
Terry Taylor looks great.
He does.
Name that the Red Rooster just killed.
Yeah. Killed him dead. I mean, I'll hand it to WCW. They gave him a different gimmick, and you know, like, okay, we'll give you a gimmick, we'll make you a heel, and we'll, you know, and we'll see how over you can get.
Derek Taylor, when he was younger too, he's a good looking guy here still, but
yeah,
he was younger. He was, you know, really good looking too. And I remember there was an article in one of the After magazines where it was a story about Magnum TA and Terry Taylor had a bet. And the bet was, whoever won a world title first had to take the other to dinner anywhere in the world. I forget what the bet was. At dinner anywhere in the world.
Okay. Well, it's an After Mag story, but yeah.
Neither collect.
Well, no.
I don't think we're actually going to anyway, but that story I was.
All right, so Terry Taylor's going up to the top rope where, I don't remember good things happening for him off the top rope, so. Hey, oh my gosh, he hit it.
Yeah, he didn't expect that.
Hey. And Bagwell kicks out. Oh. Okay. Still to come, our main event for this hour, which is going to be Ron Simmons versus Cactus Jack. Which, actually, not a bad main event.
No. This match is fine. I think Taylor's doing a really good job.
Right. I just think it was... That's not the position you want to be in following Pillman and Liger.
Yeah, but I mean, these guys, they're not supposed to have a... off-the-charts match.
Best case scenario, they're not going to have an off-the-charts match.
You want somebody with Terry Taylor's experience to be in this position, and somebody with, you know, Buff Bagwell's, you know, only a couple years into his career, so.
There
you
we know, go.
You know, put him in the second match.
Oh, okay, so he got the pin, but Taylor hit him with the forearm anyway.
He hasn't really earned his stripes, so.
Yeah, yeah. You want to build up. You want to build up Bagwell, and yeah, that's another guy that Bagwell can beat on his way up. Up. Oh, Taylor's not done with the kid yet. Oh,
finish.
Yeah.
It's like you didn't really give the crowd a chance to realize that he won. It just seemed like he didn't.
Right. He didn't.
But I mean, yeah, he didn't give them a chance to react and recognize that he won. That was kind of dumb. A little too fast.
Yeah, he needed the reaction of Taylor going, what? You know. Yeah. He's the winner. Thanks, Jesse. Oh, he's outside Lex Luger's locker room. All right. Oh. Mr. Race.
Kind of surprised that sign is printed, that they didn't just write Lex and crayon.
I know. Well, somebody thought about it.
I like that Harley Race is dressed in Homer Simpson shirt.
Right.
Short sleeves.
He put on a tie.
Yeah. It's February, Harley. Put on long sleeves.
Oh, nah, Harley can take the cold. He's a Midwestern. All right, here we go. One fall, 20-minute time limit. Doesn't get much bigger than that. There he is, Mr. Bang Bang. Yep. He doesn't look 300 pounds. I mean, compared to a more modern Mick Foley. And he has his fans.
Mick Foley is deceptively tall.
Yes.
When you see him in person, you're like, wow, he's really big.
He likes it. Jesse likes the Cactus Jack for President sign. I'll bet you'd vote for him, Jim Ross. And Jim Ross's response is, might as well. Yeah. Okay. Ron Simmons, he headlined a pay-per-view 4 months ago.
Sort of.
You know, kind of. Well, against Luger, yeah. But they're, yeah. Yeah, this is, yeah, he's only been in the business 6 years at this point. So I guess my response to that would be damn.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's in Florida for quite a while.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
Does Florida State still do the tomahawk chop?
Oh gosh, yeah.
I don't know.
Florida State has a mascot who is a guy dressed up as a Seminole Indian who right before the game rides to midfield and shoots and throws a flaming rides to midfield on a horse and throws a flaming arrow down in front of the visitors' bench.
They still do.
Yes, they still do that.
I don't really follow college football on the East Coast.
Well, the good news is Florida State stinks has really been bad the past several years, so nobody cares.
Yeah, I just follow like the Pac-12, and that's it.
Well, sorry to hear that.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, Cactus already did the spot where he gets tied up in the top rope.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sort of like the way Andre the Giant got always tied up at the top rope. Cactus Jack always got his head stuck in those ropes.
Yep.
It's funny.
Until the one time when it worked out badly, but that's still to come. Yep. All right. Ron Simmons is a vicious wrestler, according to Jesse. Is that what Bobby Bowden teaches at Florida State? Well, we got Bobby Bowden no longer with us.
Yeah, he just passed away recently.
Mm-hmm. I've already told my Bobby Bowden story, so we're not gonna do that now. Anyway, is that the way Bobby Bowden teaches him down there? Yeah, pretty much.
You know, you gotta give Jesse credit. It's like he knows enough about Ron Simmons and he knows enough about a lot of these wrestlers for,
This is his first show, but yeah, but it sounds like he's done his homework, which is the thing Jim Ross used to give him crap over.
Yeah, for a guy not
Junkyard Dog! The Junkyard Dog is here and he's in a tux.
Well, why not?
And Jesse thinks he's dressed like an usher. So, I've never seen an usher at a wrestling show wearing a white tuxedo. But that's me.
Looks like he's going to prom.
Well, hey, you never know.
White tuxedos I always associate with prom.
I don't remember. I didn't wear a white tuxedo to prom.
Yeah, I had to one time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, girlfriend made me.
Well. Well, you got the last laugh. You didn't marry her, so. All right. Okay. Brawling on the floor. And Cactus in the middle of a big war with Abdullah the Butcher. That's right. Okay, up goes Cactus. Oh.
God, this could be one of the most physical matches of Ron Simmons' career.
Yeah. And he was in some physical matches. This feud in various permutations lasted for a good chunk of 92. Let's see, yeah. Yeah, feuded with him at the 20th anniversary clash. Wrestled him at the 20th anniversary clash. When he's injured, when Cactus is injured and can't work Halloween Havoc against Ron Simmons, he gets to manage the Barbarian. He's in a tag match against Ron at Wrestle War. Oh, yeah. This is actually more the start of a feud than anything. Only two. Thank you. Jesse's pointing out the Cactus has to hook the leg. Which should be self-evident, but oh well. All right. Oh yes. Did you know that Ron Simmons played high school football? Jim Ross does. I mean, I get that you want to give the legitimate athletic background of you know, your wrestlers. That was important back then. But I think, you know, All-American at Florida State was one of the top people, you know, was one of the top candidates for the Heisman Trophy. I think that suffices.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, you know, I mean, if you also want to mention, hey, former world tag team champion or whatever, that's good too. Oh, spine buster on the ramp. Jeez.
Yeah.
Ramp with no give. It is nice of Jim Ross to mention how painful that would be. Not every announcer got the subtleties of you know, of Cactus Jack sacrificing his body. Oh, there we go. The Bob Keller bulldog there.
Is that what Bob used, the bulldog?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, probably Dustin Rhodes has used the bulldog more than anybody in WCW at this point. So, oh, there we go.
Speaking of Bob Keller, congratulations, John Skyler, who's been on the show.
I know. Impact.
Signed with Impact. Good for him.
Signed with Impact. Gets a big TV win over the GCW champion.
Yeah.
Hey.
Speaking of big wins, there's Ron Simmons with a big win.
Oh, no. Here comes Abdullah the Butcher. He's coming for Cactus Jack.
He come out of a box?
No, there's no box. Nope. Sorry. Abdullah's just turned on Ron Simmons.
What?
Yeah, Abdullah and Cactus are working together.
Who would have guessed?
Oh, my God. Oh, well, if only there was somebody here who could save Ron Simmons from Abdullah the Butcher and Cactus Jack. If there were only somebody, like, close by.
In a tuxedo.
Yeah.
If there was only someone who would take their time.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. There we go.
In a tuxedo, that would.
Yeah. He didn't headbutt Doug Dillinger. How disappointing. All right, there he goes, the JYD. All right.
Hey. Could you take any longer?
I don't know that he could. Well, he could be the Iron Sheik, in which case he would have taken longer. Oh, geez, those buttons. Man, those buttons popping, that's quite a gimmick. He's ready to street fight.
I like that he's got the cummerbund on the jeans.
Yes.
That's nice.
He's ready to street fight as long as that street is behind the Golden Corral.
Yeah, Junkyard Dog looks so bad here.
Yeah.
The fall of the Junkyard Dog was just...
It was not good.
Bad. So sad.
But apparently WCW was happy enough that he'd gotten back under 300 pounds, allegedly. So, okay. Yep. So
that guy was such a hero to so many people.
And I know.
Just so sad.
Yeah, they brought him back here. Okay, let's see what we have. All right. We're not going to start the next match, but let's see what they have before we get to that. It's great to see the Junkyard Dog back here at WCW. So, obviously, they are setting up Ron Simmons and the Junkyard Dog against Cactus and Abdullah. Yeah. Which I don't think actually came off at WrestleWar. I know we did the WrestleWar 92 show. All right. Three title matches still remaining. Yay. Okay. All right, we're going to go back to the ring. Let's go ahead and call it here at... pause it at 50 minutes and 50 seconds. That's about perfect there.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the most successful independent wrestling promotion of this generation. It's the place where the stars of today made their name. Now get the inside story of Ring of Honor from those that lived it with an honorable mention. Join Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn and his co-host Jeff Schwartz as they break down a classic Ring of Honor event every Tuesday and get the behind-the-scenes scoop and inside stories that you won't hear anywhere else. An honorable mention, available every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platforms. For exclusive bonus content, plus early ad-free access to every show, check out patreon.com/anhonorablepod.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track, Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com. And, when we come back, it's going to be three tag matches in a row next week. Yes, one of which, two of which are, two of which are going to be good. The third one sets up a pay-per-view, I want to say 20 years in the future, because it is Kevin Nash tag-teaming with Ricky Morton.
Well, there you go.
I am not making that up. I wish I were, but... this next match was supposed to be Johnny B. Badd and Van Hammer against Vinny Vegas and Mr. Hughes. However, Johnny B. Badd hadn't signed his WCW contract, so they pulled him from the pay-per-view and replaced him with the Z-Man, which is fine. Okay, Z-Man and Van Hammer. At which point, WCW decided to pull Mr. Hughes from the show and throw Ricky Morton in there in the hope that Ricky could somehow pull together a good tag match out of this. So, yes, we're going to come back, and it's going to be the Z-Man teaming with Van Hammer against Vinny Vegas and Ricky Morton, because that made all kind of sense.
Yeah, there was that kind of very slapped-together matches on the undercard of WCW paper.
And actually, that match was originally supposed to be an 8-man match, but they, it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, I
guess it doesn't. All right. So, by the way, check us out on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. He is at Jim Valley. And you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/WaybackPlaybackPodcast. Also Jim is Jim Valley on Instagram. I am at Real Pat McNeil on Instagram. One of these days I'm going to put a picture up on there. Leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or what have you.
Actually, I'm Jim_Valley on Instagram.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I couldn't get Jim Valley in time,
but there's lots of pictures of Spencer. So that's the important thing.
There you go. And Sherman.
And Sherman. Sherman. Excuse me. Yes.
Spencer's a good name.
Spencer's the name of my Spencer's the name of my mother-in-law's old cat. Oh, jeez. I'm sorry. I'm losing it tonight. It's been that kind of week, folks. And of course, if you'd like to know more about the Junkyard Dog, Ron Simmons, Abdullah the Butcher, Cactus Jack, or Terry Taylor. Feel free to go visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer, or go check out your local library app where they're all in books. Jim?
You know, it just occurred to me, I saw the retirement in Japan of two of the people on the show, Liger and Abdullah the Butcher. I saw both of them.
That's pretty great.
That's crazy.
Wild.
This week, it sounds like we've got Super Brawl, but Battle Bowl broke out. So we'll see that. Same way back time, same playback team.
Looking forward to that. Looking forward to, we're only 2 weeks away from the 7th anniversary show, and nothing says 7 years of Wayback Playback more than Sting and Lex Luger. So everybody be there with bells on. But until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.